Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining me. Today we're going to be discussing Lesson 71 from A Course in Miracles workbook. Let's take a good deep breath and a moment of silence as we join together here before we start our lesson. Lesson 71, only God's plan for salvation will work. You may not realize that the ego has set up a plan for salvation in opposition to God's. It is this plan in which you believe. Since it is the opposite of God's, you also believe that to accept God's plan in place of the ego's is to be damned. This sounds preposterous, of course, yet after we've considered just what the ego's plan is, perhaps you'll realize that however preposterous it may be, you do believe it. The ego's plan for salvation centers around holding grievances. It maintains that if someone else spoke or acted differently, if some external circumstance or event were changed, you would be saved. Thus, the source of salvation is constantly perceived as outside yourself. Each grievance that you hold is a declaration and an assertion in which you believe that says, if this were different, I would be saved. The change of mind that's necessary for salvation is thus demanded of everyone and everything except yourself. The role assigned to your own mind in this plan, then, is simply to determine what other than itself must change if you are to be saved. According to this insane plan, any perceived source of salvation is acceptable, provided that it will not work. This ensures that the fruitless search will continue, for the illusion persists that, although this hope has always failed, there are still grounds for hope in other places and in other things. Another person will yet serve better. Another situation will yet offer success. Such is the ego's plan for your salvation. Surely you can see how it is in strict accord with the ego's basic doctrine, seek but do not find. For what could more surely guarantee that you will not find salvation than to channelize all your efforts in searching for what is not there, for it where it is not? God's plan for salvation works simply because by following His direction, you seek for salvation where it is. But if you are to succeed, as God promises that you will, you must be willing to seek there only. Otherwise, your purpose is divided, and you'll attempt to follow two plans for salvation, which are diametrically opposed in all ways. The result can only bring confusion, misery, and a deep sense of failure and despair. How can you escape all this? Very simply. The idea for today is the answer. Only God's plan for salvation will work. There can be no real conflict about this because there is no possible alternative to God's plan that will save you. His is the only plan that is certain in its outcome. His is the only plan that must succeed. So let us practice recognizing this certainty today, and let us rejoice that there is an answer to what seems to be a conflict with no resolution possible. All things are possible to God. Salvation must be yours because of His plan, which cannot fail. So begin the two longer practice periods for today by thinking about today's idea and realizing that it contains two parts, each making equal contribution to the whole. God's plan for your salvation will work, and other plans will not. Don't allow yourself to become depressed or angry at the second part. It's inherent in the first. And in the first is your full release from all your own insane attempts and mad proposals to free yourself. They've led to depression and anger, but God's plan will succeed, and it will lead to release and joy. Remembering this, let us devote the remainder of the extended practice periods to asking God to reveal His plan to us. Ask Him very specifically, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say, and to whom? Give him full charge of the rest of the practice period, and let him tell you what needs to be done by you in his plan for your salvation. He will answer you in proportion to your willingness to hear his voice. Refuse not to hear. The very fact that you're doing the exercises proves that you have some willingness to listen, and this is enough to establish your claim to God's answer. In the shorter practice periods, tell yourself often that God's plan for salvation and only His will work. Be alert to all temptation to hold grievances today and respond to them with this form of today's idea. Holding grievances is the opposite of God's plan for salvation and only His plan will work. Try to remember the idea for today some 6 or 7 times an hour. There could be no better way to spend a half minute or less than to remember the source of your salvation and to see it where it is. Only God's plan for salvation will work. Let's take a good deep breath and a moment of silence as we let this lesson for today sink in for just a moment. Only God's plan for salvation will work. This is a wonderful mantra, a reminder, a touchstone, a real good reason to set our smartphone alarm to go off about every 5 to 10 minutes, whatever you're comfortable with. It could just set it on vibrate. And so it's just vibrating. It's just a touchstone. Some of my students have been inventive and they've added a bell tone, like a little tingling, a very nice pleasant sound that's very muted and doesn't offend anybody around them, and it would trigger them to remember to practice today's idea, to just repeat today's idea. As he said, you know, in the shorter practice periods, just tell yourself often that God's plan for salvation and only His will work. We don't have to make this arduous or complicated or difficult. We are reconditioning the unconscious mind. We are laying in a new groove in our subconscious that will begin to inform our reaction to what's going on in the world so that we can begin to respond rather than to react. Now, you know, we've had the discussion, and I know I've kind of let the genie out of the bottle in earlier discussions about through the coursework, you know, through the lessons we've been discussing, you know, and have shared with you already that the ego's basic doctrine is seek but do not find. But here we find it in Lesson 71. God's plan for salvation simply works because by following His direction, you're seeking for salvation where it's at. Only God's plan for salvation will work. The other thing I love about this lesson, it's very pronounced now, is that He's really pointing you towards having a dialogue, a conversation, communication, to be joined in union with His voice. His, capital V, voice is the Holy Spirit, which is nothing more than your right mind. It is you that you're seeking to get in touch with, that you're seeking to have dialogue with, that you're seeking to commune with, that you are willing to listen to. And it only takes a little willingness, as he says. Here we are. It's really starting to come together. And the Holy Spirit, God's voice, nothing more than your right mind, that part of your mind that is never deluded, confused, or disturbed, or experiencing illusion, a dreamlike state, where we believe we are someplace where we're not, or that we are something that we're not. And that, of course, is the Holy Spirit. So refuse not to hear. He's making it very plain. And he says quite plainly that your right mind will answer you in proportion to your willingness to hear God's voice. Refuse not to hear. The very fact that you're doing the exercises proves that you have at least some willingness, yes, to listen. And while that is just kind of on the back end of a sentence in this lesson, I want to point out to you that to listen is one of the most powerful aspects of this practice. A lot of people, myself included, was pretty good at getting all of my trappings together in my early endeavors to be quote-unquote spiritual or to meditate, and I would have my candles and my incense and my bell tones and have the lights down and have no one else in the house, or start very early in the morning when the sun's just coming up and the earth itself is still quite quiet and things are calm. No distractions. I just needed no distractions. I wanted to have everything that I needed so that I could get whatever I could only imagine, of course, at that time would be available to me through the practice of meditation. But I'm here to tell you today that all of those things, whatever you feel you need, go for it. Follow your guidance system. Everyone has this unique guidance system that is serving you and guiding you and nudging you and helping you. And it's literally an entourage of family. I can't think of another word for it. Of brothers and sisters who are not physical. No, they're not ghosts. They're aspects that you of God, individuations of love. So I think for our purposes, the best descriptor might be angels, because I don't think anyone by and large has a big problem with angels and sees that word and all that comes with it, hopefully in a good light. But yes, you are loved, and you are loved more than you can imagine, or more than the ego can imagine, because it wants to use concrete evidence in the world to validate its positionality about whether or not it's loved. We set that aside, and we quit listening to that voice. And in this practice today, he's very specific. Remember this. Let us devote the remainder of the extended practice periods to asking God to reveal his plan to us. We're creating a dialogue here, you see. Ask him very specifically, what would you have me do? What would you have me go? Where would you have me go? What would you have me to say? And to whom? And our brother Jesus shared again and again and again through Paul Tuttle as he was channeling as Rajpoor that one simple question, which is wonderful and you can include here, is very simply, what is the truth? Regardless of the question, the most important thing in that part of our practice is to recognize that we need to be in union, that we need to establish dialogue. But the other very important part, at the end of that sentence, simply said that you have some willingness to listen. And that is enough to establish your claim to God's answer. And you will be responded to. No prayer goes unanswered. We just aren't tuned in to hear the answer. And I promise you, most likely anyway, the ego is not interested in it. So we have to be out of that mind, and we have to be present, we have to be centered, and we have to ignore the chatter of the personality, ego, thinking self. And I've shared this before, and I'll share again today just for punctuation, but if God didn't create you to be a thinker, what are you thinking about? We only need to remember to listen to His voice. And His voice is the Holy Spirit. Again, whatever name you want to give it is fine. But the most important thing I think to remember to take away from that discussion is that the Holy Spirit is nothing more than your right mind. So we're getting in communion with ourselves. It's almost like the small sleeping self at night is beginning to have dialogue with the awakening self in the morning as you're coming out of your sleep. There's a conversation going on. But there is no separation and there is no separate I self. The Holy Spirit is you. And ultimately, we come to the realization of that. And as we begin to then realize who and what we are in truth, we let go of the commitments we've made to who and what we are not in illusion. You may not realize that the ego has set up a plan for salvation in opposition to God's, and it is this plan in which you believe. Do we believe in fear? Do we believe in guilt? Do we believe that we're bodies? Do we believe that we're stuck on planet Earth and that we could die and that sin is real? Death is real. Pain is real. Sickness is real. Fear is real. Well, let's put it this way. The ego believes those things, but it's time for us to shed the coil of the ego. It's almost as if we're going through a process not unlike a moth, and we suddenly cocoon ourselves, and eventually we break free of the cocoon, and we are now being expressed in a new way. We've become transformed. It's kind of what we're going through. And we don't have to be in too big a hurry. It's happening with or without our conscious effort. Literally, we can try to ignore it, we can try to resist it and have some success, but ultimately, God's will prevails. The ego's will is nothing. I think we can assist. I think by being involved in A Course in Miracles, I think lots of things, but if I can just be guided and allow this teaching and allow these lessons to be my guide, I don't have to think. I can simply allow. Only God's plan for salvation will work. Practice well today, my brothers and sisters. Thank you for being with me on this journey. I love you. God bless. Stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions, and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander to temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created, and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send